God is here. Waar twee of meer vergader is in sy naam, is hy teenwoordig. And let us never take for granted the privilege that we have of his believers. Look at the circumstances under which we get together. Kyk hier nou, mense. How many of you have lived through a war? A literal war. No, I mean talking about a world war, one of the world wars. So, okay, or like proper war on a border, somewhere where your colleagues are being shot dead around you, there's missiles going over your head. When you go through stuff like that, you're a lot more appreciative of what we have today. We're really blessed to be able to be here. And I, you know, whenever I'm going through things that are a little bit difficult, I think, you know what, Mozzie, you haven't lived through a war like that yet. Vivian. So I'm really, really grateful. And it's good to remind ourselves of how God has blessed us with good things like that. And God bless you. Thank you for your faithful, generous participation in the offering. Thank you that you know you're not doing it to pay salaries. You're sowing it into the kingdom of God, and people happen to get salaries from that, including myself and the other staff here. Since we've moved in, we had to take on two new staff members here to be able to keep up what God has entrusted us with, but that's part and parcel of where we're busy growing with this thing. So bless you guys for that. It's our annual biker blessing this morning, and I didn't give the guys the scripture, but as we were busy with the praise and worship, the Lord laid this passage of scripture on my heart, and it's known as the Beatitudes. It's from Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus speaks about what it means to be blessed. And I've got scriptures prepared, and I'm going to touch on that, but I just thought I'd like, you know, and also when we were praying this morning, we prayed over the stickers that we're going to hand out to folks and stuff like that. Lord, what does it mean to be blessed? Does it mean I get a new something? What does it mean to be blessed? And Jesus gives us an idea of this. And I think when we pray for blessings, I wonder if some of these things come to our mind when we look at this passage of Scripture in Matthew chapter 5. It's known as the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And Jesus is on the hill, on the mount, and he's speaking to the people. And he's not describing different individuals. Hy beskryf 'n persoon wat so is. And we can experience these things as part of the blessing of the Lord this morning. So as we get into this, Father, we thank you that we can get around your word this morning. Here, dankie vir die voorreg wat ons het om na u woord te kan kyk vanoggend. In 'n konteks soos hierdie, in 'n plek soos hierdie, in hierdie atmosfeer, waar ons so lekker op ons gemak kan sit en rustig u teenwoordigheid ervaar. En as ons mooi kyk, as ons geestesoë en harte oopmaak, sal ons u sien in 'n manier hoe geliefdes met mekaar werk, hoe ons met mekaar gesels, hoe ons mekaar bedien. Through acts of service, we'll see your presence, Lord, and know your presence. So as we look at your word this morning, Here, ek het geen preek wat 'n verskil kan maak in mense se lewens. But one word from God can change our lives forever. Heilige Gees, ons bid dat U daai spesifieke woord vir elke individu sal praat vanoggend diep in hulle geeste. Laat hulle dit nie net sal hoor met hulle fisiese ore nie, maar diep in hulle harte sal ervaar. En dat hulle sal dit hulle sin maak, and that they'll personalize it in Jesus' name. And contextualize it, Lord God, and make it their own this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn. This is from verse 4 now. For they shall be comforted, of Matthew 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Wow. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace lovers. Everybody loves peace. It takes extra effort and hard work and uncomfortable things to make peace. For they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you, for so they persecuted the prophets. And I think that sums up in God's mind and God's eyes and God's opinion in His heart, what does it mean to be blessed? So let's consider two things this morning when we talk about what it means to be blessed. Just say, oh, bless you. We've got a habit. I stopped doing it. It's neither here nor there. It's not a right or a wrong thing. Wanneer ons nies, when we sneeze, what do we say? Bless you. I've been told that where it comes from, in the days before they discovered penicillin and some of the other things that relieve the symptoms of flus, is that when you started sneezing, it would lead to a cold, from a cold to bronchitis, from bronchitis to pneumonia, from a pneumonia, you became worm food. You died. You kicked the bucket. I've been told that when they saw that happening, when you sneeze, they thought, uh-oh, so-and-so's op at eight. So they'd say, bless you. And then I've been told one of the other legends is that when you sneezed, raivat jylle, hulle het gedink jy was besit. Deur 'n demoon. Okay? They thought that if you sneezed, you were possessed. So they said, bless you, to try and cast out the demon. Whatever the case may be, we say, bless you, so lightheartedly. But what I want to do this morning, what the Lord laid on my heart is the following, is to realize how desperate we are in need of salvation. Nou, as jy die voorreg gehad het om op 'n plek te kom in jou lewe waar jy is verseker van jou saligheid, jy is 100% oortuig, as jou hartjie gaan staan, or whatever, jy gaan hemel toe. Okay? But also salvation from the onslaught of the devil, from salvation from strongholds in your mind, salvation from physical sickness, salvation from other forms of bondage in your life. Mense, ons het saligheid nodig op 'n daaglikse basis in ons lewens. We need salvation from the wiles of the devil. We need that on a daily basis. So the first thing we want to do is look at our need for salvation, and ek gaan nie lang preek nie because ek hoor hulle gaan kole aansit. Raai wat gaan ons doen hierna? Ons gaan Ons gaan nou braai. Ons gaan vreedsaam kuier. Man, it's lekker to be able to do that. It's just good to, you know, it's awesome to have a meal together. But before we do that, we're going to look at this, our need of salvation, and then also our good shepherd. Our good shepherd. Hierdie week, Dis 'n gereelde ding in 'n pastoor se lewens en julle sin ook. Ek weet nie, dis nou ook nie uniek nie. But man, the devil attacked me in my thought life like you cannot believe. Like really, I'd be doing one thing and out of the blue, this thing comes. And it's the devil, and I just know. And you know, we go through challenges and I realized, Lord, it's so easy for us to wander away. And then I got to saw this video clip that describes Jesus' work with us. There's this long, I don't know what it is, it's not like a river, you can see it's like a man-made canal kind of thing, and it's excavated or cultivated into the land, it's not paved with concrete or anything like that in the industrial context, it's in a farm, it's rural, and there's this canal of water, and there's the sheep stuck in this water, because the stale, ek kan nie uitkom nie, is modderig, dis glibberig, dit was a 2x4 sheep, not a 4x4, so ek kon nie daar uit nie, nee? And the sheep was stuck, and this farmer comes, and he gets in, he gets his hands dirty, and hy gly daar af, and hy vat hierdie skaap, and hy tel hom op, hoor dit is 'n skaap, nee? And hy tel die ding op, and he puts it up there, and the sheep can get out. The sheep gets out. It runs a kort afstandjie, man, and dan val hy weer daarin. What does the shepherd have to do? Wat sê hy vir jou? Ja, kry vir jou. Ek is moeg gepraat. Ek het vir jou my woord gegee. Ek het die Heilige Gees gegee. Ek het profete gestuur. Jy's met deur engele gepraat. Jy wil nie hoor nie. Laat jy verdrink. Ek sal klaar met jou. Ek het ander werk om te gaan doen. Nee, wat het hy gedoen? Het sy mou weer opgerol. En weer by skaap gaan red. Geliefdes, dieselfde geld vir ons. Oor en oor en oor en oor. You say, you think, well, Mozzie, ek is okay. My wandel met die Here is tight. Ons is so. Dis goed en wel. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the standards that God set for heaven, how many of us can enter freely? We can't, but through the completed work of the cross of Jesus Christ. Nie een van ons verdien 'n plek daar nie. We don't even deserve to be called by his name. Can you see this morning, church? We need salvation. Why? Because the Bible says this of us. Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's paths to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. All of us are like sheep that have left God's paths to follow our own. Romans 3 and verse 10. As the scriptures say, no one is righteous, not even one. You know, so hoe bring ons hierdie goed by mekaar? The Bible says that we are the righteousness of God, 2 Corinthians 5:21. And then in Romans it says none of us is righteous. It means apart from the righteousness of God. How do you become righteous in God? By throwing yourself at the mercy of Jesus and embracing everything that the Father has for you. In nederigheid vir die, we can be like Saul. When Saul was confronted as to why he didn't wipe out every living thing, he says, no, Lord, the people, it's the people. They kept all of these things for themselves, as opposed to David. When David was caught out after caring with Batsam, the prophet Nathan Many for Batsam gaan soek in julle Bybel, hoor, haar naam is Bathsheba. Bathsheba. When David was confronted about that little detour in his walk with God, what did he do? Lord, against you, and you only have I sinned. May we be like that, like in David, and say, God, I've blown it. When we hurt people, when we hurt others, who do we harm? Jesus. We harm people for whom he shed his blood. You know? So Romans 3 and verse 10, no one is righteous, not even one. And then Romans 3 and verse 23, for everyone has sinned. I'm reminded of that person, little girl wakes up and she says, Lord, I haven't been angry not once. I haven't had one dirty thought in my mind. I haven't been disobedient to my parents. I haven't done any harm to anybody. Pretty soon I'm going to get out of bed and I'm sure the rest of my day is going to go just as good. You see, we can be in this place where everything's okay, but when we go out and experience life, when the pawpaw and the cabbages and the onions and the potatoes and everything hits the fan, then we see our weaknesses and our shortcomings and our desperate need of Jesus. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. And why does God set a standard like that? Because he's a strict judge. No. But hear this. Let's say you had the miraculous ability as a medical practitioner to remove a life-threatening disease out of a person's body. So let's say this person's got the disease in their head, in their upper body, in their torso, in their legs. They got the disease or else. And you apply a treatment to their body. And you start little bit by little bit getting rid of that disease in their body. Would you think, oh, well, I've got enough of this disease. There's just a little bit of it left over. I'm just going to leave it here. I'm sure this person's going to be okay. Would you do that? Nee, wat gaan jy doen? Jy gaan die persoon heeltemal, totaal en al genees en skoonmaak. Is dit nie so nie? And it's like that with God. He doesn't want any trace, any remnant of anything to do with the enemy in your eternal home or in your heart or in your spirit or in your life. That is why God's standard is so high. That is why he eventually had to send Jesus, because we wouldn't listen to them. To the prophets, we wouldn't listen to the angels, we wouldn't believe his miracles. The ultimate price had to be paid. He gave heaven's best, the death of his son Jesus, so that we could be at a place where we cleansed of all unrighteousness. That is why the standard is so high, ladies and gentlemen. God doesn't want any remnant left over, trace, evidence of the enemy left behind in our lives. Does that sound like good news to you this morning? So that's our need for salvation. What has God done about this? That good shepherd has come to our rescue. And that good shepherd has come to our rescue. The scripture says, when we look at John 10, three verses from John 10, a bit of Matthew, Ephesians, and then 2 Peter, and then I'm done preaching. John 10 and verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. He's the good shepherd. So we need the shepherd to steer us back onto the path. John 10 and verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and they know me. You know how famous you are? The living God, the Lord, the giver of life, the maker of heaven and earth, knows you. He knows you. You think, it's just my net out of my oak for these sources. It's so wonderful to see the young folks with us this morning, because like they, you know what? By the grace of God, unlike me, they've got more life ahead of them than they do have behind them. You see, the chances are of me having another 50 odd years, nah, probably not. But them, very likely. They've got these things to ponder and to consider. And folks, I know when you're at that age where you know you've got more life behind you than you do ahead of you in terms of years, you realize this good shepherd is the one who I need to steer me into my glory days. He says, I know my sheep and they know me. You're known by God intimately, intricately, better than you know yourself. And John 10, 27, my sheep listen to my voice. So, beloved, where do you stand with that this morning? Do you listen to God's voice and hear His voice? How does God speak? Have you been listening to the way God has been speaking? I know of eight, and hopefully I can remember them this morning, of the ways in which God speaks. And He always uses at least two ways to speak to you. God speaks through the still small voice of His Holy Spirit. Sometimes God speaks in an audible voice. God speaks through His written word. God speaks through other believers. God speaks through prophetic confirmation through His other believers. God speaks through dreams and visions. God speaks through angels. God speaks through nature and circumstances. Any other ways, anybody you can think of that God speaks to you? So God speaks. Have we heard His voice? Have we heard? And have we listened? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So how are we doing with the following? You know, there's only three places, two, in Scripture that Jesus says you must be born again. It's in John chapter 3, and then it's in one of the other minor epistles in the New Testament speaks about us being born again. But then follow me, it mentions 200 and something times, 270 times, or something like that. Follow me, follow me, follow me. You see, the born again thing is the beginning, beloved. The follow me is the daily challenge. That's where we live in such a way that people can see that we've repented and we have a good shepherd to help us along the way to do that. This morning, we say we want to speak God's blessing over our lives. We want to pray a blessing to ask God to keep us safe for the year. God's calling us with an invitation to say, Jesus says this in Matthew 11, verse 28. To 30, Jesus said, come to me. The Spirit of God this morning is saying to each one of us, come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and my burden is light. I want to start closing off this morning by saying this. Our blessings don't start with getting something, but rather letting go of something. There's a difference. So it doesn't start with us getting something, but first letting go of something. I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever burden you're carrying that you were never designed to carry, give it over to the Lord this morning. Whatever struggle you're facing that you think it's, Lord, it's an impossible thing. Give it to the God who specializes in the impossible. If you're going through something that you know, that is nie uitweg. If you're in a place in your life this morning where you feel completely hopeless, give it to God. His burden is easy. He'll teach you things. He'll give you His burden that is light and able for you to carry. He says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. So what we receive from the Lord in exchange for our burdens is a blessing. That's what we receive. So what exactly is this blessing then? We started off by speaking about how Jesus described, blessed are they that hunger and thirst. Blessed are they that are persecuted for His sake. Blessed are those who are reviled. Blessed are those who are meek and are poor in spirit. They will inherit the kingdom of God. So what is this blessing? What does it look like? The Bible says this. What exactly is this blessing? Ephesians 1 and verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? Just enough to get by. No, every spiritual blessing. There's nothing left over in heaven for you to live the blessed life, my brother, my sister. He's blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. So why don't we see it in our lives? Well, for verskeie redes. Sometimes it's just because God wants to teach us something. Sometimes God wants intimacy with you and wants you to grow closer to Him in pursuing the things that He's put out for you and in trust to your care when you can be entrusted with those things. Sometimes it's the demonic influence in our lives, the devil withholding things from us. Sometimes it's because of our own disobedience in the Lord, because of various things in our lives, doors that we leave open for the enemy to come and steal from us. So if He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, I want to know, Lord, where are they? I want them. I want them in my life. I want to be able to walk in the full measure of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Those are the promises that God has for us. So He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Those are the blessings of the Lord. That's what we're going to trust each other for this morning, to pray for each other and declare and speak the blessings of God over our lives. Now listen, we're not charismatic, whacked out, irrelevant Jesus freaks that just name it and claim it. We're saying these things because we believe that there's death and life in the power of the tongue. That's what the Bible says in Romans, Proverbs 18 and verse 21. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. We're going to speak these blessings over each other and trust the living God to fulfill His word. 2 Peter 1 and verse 3. By His divine power, not by our own good deeds or how clever or oh look we are, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. Do you feel that something is lacking in your life? Trust God for the fulfillment of these promises, my brother, my sister, loved ones. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We've received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. So let's proclaim this blessing over our lives this morning. After we've prayed here, and I'm going to get the deep end to lead us in a time of worship just one more time. I'm going to call on every CMA member, every care group leader, the altar workers. We want everybody to please get an opportunity to pray with somebody. We're going to get you to get a little sticker. And if you want us to pray over your motorcycle, over your car, and trust God for safety and protection as we travel on the roads, then please, I know it's going to take a few minutes in the sun, but at least we have some shade that we can come back to. Stand by a vehicle. We're going to get somebody to go with you and pray with you specifically and just speak a blessing over your lives, okay? This blessing, you can pray as the Spirit of God leads you, or you can pray that priestly blessing, which I speak over the church every Sunday. It's from Numbers chapter 6, where we say, may Almighty God bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Or this one from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and verse 14. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that's what I'd like us to declare together over each other this morning. Maybe you don't get a sticker. Maybe you don't want somebody to pray with you at your bike or your car, whatever. That's fine. But I'd like us to all together to say this and proclaim this over each other this morning. So before we let the deep end lead us one more time, I'd like everybody in the congregation to stand up one more time, please. Stand up with us, everybody, as we just proclaim this blessing over each other. I'm going to read it for you, and I want you to verbalize it and speak it out. And you can think of the people immediately around you, in front of you, those that you see, perhaps folks that are not here, over friends and family that you know that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you're at a place this morning, if you're not assured of your salvation, if you're not 100% sure that if you died, God would let you into heaven without a shadow of a doubt, if that is you, I want you to please raise your hand. Is there anybody like that here this morning? Yes, nie 100% verseker van jou saligheid. Nie anybody like that? Thank you. Bless you. You can put your hands down. I want to pray specifically for those folks this morning as we stand and say, dis een gebed weg julle. Dis nie... nie lidmaatskap van enige gemeente nie. Dis 'n gebed in jou hart van geloof. Waar u in nederigheid voor die Here staan en sê, Here, ek besef ek is 'n sondaar. Ek het gesondig teenoor u. Here, ek vra u om my te vergewe. Ek glo met my hart en daarom bely ek met my mond in geloof. Jesus Christus, u is God se seun. Jesus, you died for me and your blood was shed to pay the price for my sins. And I'm in this building, this place of worship this morning. And I declare, God, Jesus, that you are God's Son, that you died, that you rose again from the grave 3 days later, and your blood was shed for me. I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to wash me clean of all my sins and give me another chance again, Lord. Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for loving me. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you help me and strengthen me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer in sincerity in your heart, the Bible says that if you confess and speak with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The Bible says that anybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. The Bible says that God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And if you've prayed that prayer in all sincerity, I want to encourage you, please come speak to us after the service. If you're not involved in a church already and you don't have a spiritual home, we want you to seek the Lord's face here until He sends you to your home or plants you here, whatever the case may be. But I want us to declare this scripture over us. Over each other this morning. I'm going to read it to you one more time, then we're going to speak it over each other as I lead us in this time of prayer together. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to declare this together as a church for 2023 as we call and speak God's blessing over our lives together this morning. So may we say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'd just like to find out, Johan, waar kan hulle die stickers kry? Is Johan seker by die braais? Okay, so any CMA person has got the sticker. Doesn't matter if you want a sticker. You don't need to be a CMA member to get a sticker. If you just want a sticker to put on your vehicle, your bike, your car, whatever, as a symbol of God's blessing, that which we've declared over each other, get it from any one of the CMA members. And straight after the service, Care group leaders, CMA members, altar workers, go to somebody that's standing by their vehicle, pray with them so that we can get back under the shade and start the bride together. Bless you guys. Thank you for listening. Over to the deep end one more time.